this morning, 12:30, this afternoon, something like that. I just, I got, you know, when you're preaching, and I try to really carefully watch the clock so we're done at 12:15. I mean, I just really watch that. But this morning, it just wasn't working out that way. And then the man back there, I want to get saved. And I've always felt that it's no more than right to wait for a man to get saved. I figured, well, if you don't want to leave, just get up and go, amen. But most just stayed, amen. I appreciate that. I'm sure that most of us would be happy if somebody stayed when we were getting saved, and there'd be no commotion. So, praise the Lord. Thank you for you men and women that are willing to lead people to Christ, and it's a blessing. One way in that, I'm going to try to finish this sermon tonight. There are a lot of people tonight, I think, that forget. They just don't feel that they can win. They just don't think it's going to happen. And can we get through this thing about living for God? And I just, there's so much in the Word of God that tells us we can. If God says we can, then we can. Or then he's a liar. The problem is, God gives us everything we need in our arsenal, all the ammunition we need. But the problem is, many of us are like the man that's sick that does not take his medicine. And you can have all the every perfect medicine there is unless you take it. It's no good to you. A freezing man can have all kinds of warming devices around him unless he uses it. He's not going to do it. A drowning man, if he does not receive the life saver that's thrown at him, or the child that's in a fire and a fireman comes in looking for him and he hides in the corner of a closet, you know, there's not much he can do. But as a Christian, there are things that we can do that God allows us. You're going to have to behave yourself now, brother. But God allows us to live for him. Can we do it? Yes, we can. But the thing is, we have to take the medicine. We have to apply the salve. We have to, you know, put on the warmth that God gives us in that. So I want you to test that. Would you stand, please? Let's read together tonight again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17 down to verse 19. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, when you read that therefore, you ought to check it out why it's therefore. And Paul's reason why it infers that anyone is a new creature who is in Christ, and this is what is stated in this previous verse, to wit, the change of views and regards of our Redeemer and what he done for our life. I know that's pretty strong. I know that's kind of heavy stuff, but once you're saved, once Christ comes into your heart, there is a change. According to the Word of God, there's got to be a change. And if there's not a change, then we should, as Paul said, we ought to be making sure of our salvation. A lot of people, it'd be a terrible thing to live a life on this earth and like God said, the Lord said, you know, they were, they're not saved. And it'd be a terrible thing. So make sure of your salvation. Make sure of that. Make sure that God, I can understand when you, what did Paul say that we are, you know, they cauterized, they burn themselves, and they harden their hearts, sear their conscience. When people seal their conscience, what that means, you just keep doing something bad, you just give up. But when you do something wrong and you catch that, immediately you ought to say, God, I know that's wrong. It's sin. Forgive me. Confess your sins immediately. Confess your sins immediately. And God will forgive you. All right. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things, any man, by the way, that's anybody. I don't care how rich you are, how poor you are. I don't know. I don't care what kind of family you came up out of. I don't care how brutal your dad was, or brutal your mother were, or brutal your brothers or sisters were to you. Hey, no matter what, if any man be in Christ, you understand what I'm telling you there? So there's not a deal on there and say, well, I'm kind of crazy, I've got this problem. No, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Reconciled just means to pay off the debt. Well, wouldn't it be nice if you could go reconcile your new pickup tonight and just say, here's the money, pay for it. Amen. Or your new car, your new motorcycle, your whatever. Or your home. Boy, it'd be great to reconcile your home. And then your tax man said, no, do that. You can take that off your income tax. So there's something wrong with that, man. Pay the stinking thing off, amen. So, anyway, reconcile. And how are we reconciled? Through Jesus Christ. Reconcile us to himself by Jesus Christ, who hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. So God says, we have a job now. Father, I pray you'd help us now, Lord. Just help us to understand some of this scripture here that would to encourage us to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, Marcia. My time to talk. Okay. All right. The word therefore here implies that the reason why Paul infers that the only that anyone is a new creature who Christ has stated in previous verse, to wit, to change views in regards to the Redeemer, to which, therefore, and which was so great as constitute the change in new creature. What a difference! There's a song that says, there's a difference. You know, it's happened to me. That song tells us about when we get saved, there's a difference. Folks, there's supposed to be a difference. My mama used to say, boy, he really, really got saved. What she was saying is, boy, that guy's got a testimony now. Well, we all have testimonies, but he has a good testimony now. Amen. The affirmation here is a universal, if any man, it's forever, but any man be in Christ, that is all who become true Christians, undergo such a creature change in their views and in their feelings, as to make it proper to say of them that they are new creatures. No matter who they were, where they came from, what they have been, what they had been before, whether moral or immoral, infidel, speculative believers, whether animal or debased or sensual or polluted, yet if they become Christians, they all experience such a change as to make it proper say that they are a new creation. Can somebody say that about you? When you receive Jesus Christ, I know some of you, you're kids, and there wasn't much change going on in your life. But boy, there's some old rascals in here that used to hit the bars and used to be pretty rough. And when you got saved, you exhibited a new creation in Jesus Christ. There's something different about him now. Here is a new creature. The idea ought to be new creature, but that he is in fact not that he ought to live as become a new creature, which is true enough, but that he will in fact live in that way. He will manifest the character of a new creature. Now, the phrase, a new creature, occurs in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. The word rendered creature means, properly in the New Testament, creation. It denotes, in Acts, the act of creating, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. a created thing, a creature, and refers to the universal and creation in general. A man to man and mankind, here's a new means of creation, a moral sense, a phrase, a new creature, evident in expression, the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It means evidently that there is a change produced in the renewed heart of man that is equivalent to the act of creation, that bears a strong resemblance to it, a change, so to speak, as if man was made over again and had become new when God took that lump of clay and fashioned that clay out with his own hands. All other creation, God spoke and it was. But mankind was different. I talked about that Wednesday night. Mankind was different. God literally took some clay and molded a man. When I was in high school, I remember going down to the Ford Motor Company. And at Ford Motor Company, they were showing how they made prototypes, new vehicles. Chevrolet, same way. Chrysler, same way. Those guys, they're working on some stuff that just blow your mind right now. Just amazing, but that's the first thing they make it from. Guess what? From molding clay. Now, of course, they're doing a lot with computer images and things like that, but they're still molding that out, and that's how they start at it. And what a difference. God took mankind, and he molded him, and then the Spirit of God came, and he became a living soul. He became a new creation. Literally, new creation. And the word that is used in the New Testament has the same idea of God in the Genesis account where he created mankind. So there's got to be a change. You cannot say, well, it just didn't happen to me. Well, then you're not saved. Because God said it happened. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So if you're here to me today and say, well, that didn't happen to me, and I'm a good Christian, but it didn't happen to me, I would say you better be very, very careful of what you're talking about. Salvation is very simple. We all know about salvation. Most of us here tonight would raise your hand. If I said, if you died today, are you 100% you'd go to heaven? Most of you raise your hand. Most of us remember that day that when we were at something and some preacher was preaching, we may not remember the sermon, we may not remember the scripture, but we remember the event. And we remember bowing our heads. And maybe remember a little bit or maybe nothing, but we do remember that day that we accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Would you say amen to that?
Amen. Yeah.
So if that happened, according to God's holy word, there had to be a change. Now some of you rational teenagers, is there a change in your life? Children, is there a change in your life? Young moms and dads, is there a change? Middle-agers, is there a change? Old gophers, is there a change in us? By this shall all men know that we are his disciples because we love one another. By this shall all men know. I really am concerned about some people that are so mean and so cantankerous and so ornery. I really worry about that. Because God said, by this shall all men know that we're his disciples if we love one another. I'm really concerned about that. I don't understand how families can fight. I just don't understand it. And you've seen them. I don't understand how that some people can fuss about other people for they're just the same or even worse than those other people. But it seems like they got a one-track mind, and that is, I'm okay, but they're not okay. And I won't forgive them. That's a problem. So when a man gets saved, he becomes a what? New creation. That happens. That's what the Bible said. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New creature. There's a difference. And I will tell you something. I'll be very honest with you. I want to be very careful that I am a new creature. Careful, I'm a new preacher too, but I ought to be very careful in my life as I walk that I carry this new creation in my heart. Amen? Hey, you with me tonight? You understand this? I worry about people who say, I can't forgive them. What do you mean you can't forgive them? Jesus Christ forgave you everything. Jesus also said, if you won't forgive them, I won't forgive you. You may not be as stupid, as dumb, as stupid head as I used to say. One of my boys says, don't be a stupid head. I may not be a stupid head like you, but I'm going to tell you something. There are certain things in the Christian life that we ought to be very careful about, and we ought to really enjoy, and that is, one, forgiveness and mercy and grace. And we ought to bestow that to others. Be very careful where we walk. Very careful what we say about other people. Now, the mode or the manner in which it is done is not described. I don't understand this thing, how when we get saved, this new creation takes place. I know it's instantaneous. The man hanging on the cross said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today thou'll be with me in paradise. They're dead. And Jesus doesn't lie, amen. So the man was in paradise. You say, yeah, but he was a murderer. He was a terrible man. That's the point. God will forgive anybody. You're here tonight and say, well, God couldn't forgive me of that. God couldn't. Oh, yes, he will. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Don't challenge the Word of God. Just read the Word of God and believe the Word of God and accept the Word of God. If God said it, it's so. I heard one say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, it doesn't. God said it, that settles it. It may be different than what I believe. Thus saith the Lord God. I was a young preacher, and I was preaching and trying to preach. I guess that's the word for it. I'm still working on it. And I had a little habit of saying, this is what I believe. And my father-in-law, who was a Baptist preacher, we were driving someplace. We were always golfing. Man, he was the golfingest golfer I've ever met in my life. Every Monday we were golfing. I mean, we did golfing. And he said, hey, can I give you a hint? And, you know, when you're calling your father-in-law, you kind of swallow. Because you have married his daughter. And I said, I'm going to get it anyway. So I said, sure, go ahead. And he said, you know, you're doing a good job preaching. And I learned a long time ago, it's okay to smell the perfume, but don't drink it, amen? So I was careful when I said, well, thank you, you know. And he said, there's one thing I've noticed lately. He said, you say that this is what you believe. He said, son, it really doesn't care. I don't really care what you believe or I believe. It's what God says. I'd be very careful what I said when I was preaching. I said, this is what I believe. I hope that took residence in my ministry. It's what God says. God said, we're a new creation. God says we're to change. God says people should see God through us. Therefore, it should happen. And if we're not exhibiting this new creation in Jesus Christ, this this thing that we call being born over to the side of Christ, then I think that we ought to be very skeptical about what we believe and how we act. I'm not saying that you're not Christians. I'm just saying you may have your heart seared by the temptations that Satan and the imps of hell keep throwing at you. You may hesitate a lot of things because you don't have the faith like you should. That's why God's word said. That this says in Romans there, where it says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't have the faith, you don't have the power and the strength, it's pretty hard for you to carry on and to stand up for what's right in the word of God. I'm not talking about being someone who is obnoxious. Jesus was never obnoxious with his life. I see a lot of people are obnoxious. They're just I don't really want to be a part of that, you know. I told you a while back, you know, please leave the door open so that when I knock on that door, they don't come out with their 45 or they don't come with their 40 or their 357 or 12-gauge shotguns that get off my porch. Give me a chance to talk to them. If you can't win them, walk on. Find somebody who wants to get saved. Joe Boyd, you say, don't mess with the deadheads. Just leave them alone. Just go to the next person. If they meet you and tell you, hey, I don't want that, just fine. Shake the dust off your feet, go to the next place. Bang on the door. One in every 10 will listen to you. That's about the average. The mode or the manner in which it's done is not described, nor should the words be pressed to the quick, as if the process were the same in all our cases, because it's not. All of us come from different backgrounds, different character, different places in our life. All of us. Brother Jim back there, he comes from Texas. Grew up in a wild, wild Texas life. I'd have loved talking to Brother Jim. He's got some great stories. Y'all just sit down and talk to him. You don't have to talk. Just grunt a little bit. He'll just tell you some funniest thing. Tell you about his dad. Oh, his dad killed by chasing. He was sitting on the front of a bumper of a truck chasing deer, and he got killed. I mean, my dad didn't do that kind of stuff. You know, some of you people, your life is a lot different. All of us come from different characters, different avenues of life. And all of us have different reasons why we don't do certain things. Some of us still don't do certain things because we can hear Mama's voice. And we know she's going to jack slap us to tomorrow. My mother was the sweetest thing, but more she'll whoop on me, amen. She's the sweetest thing. Still love her to death. The phrase implies evidently things that follow. Number one, that there is an exertion of divine power in the conversion of a sinner as really as the act of creating the world out of nothing, that this is indispensable in the one case as it is in the other. There is something miraculous, spiritual, powerful that God gives us at salvation. Would you agree with that? There's a change. Has to be. Nothing would have been created unless God, in His power and His might, said, let there be. And so when a person gets saved, this boy right here got saved this morning, the power, if he accepted Christ as personal Savior and asked God to forgive him of sin, the power is, came to that man right there. Same as this little 10-year-old girl this morning in Sunday school. Same as happened to me when I was 14. Same as happened to you when you were 20 or 30 or maybe 8 or 9 or 4. There's an indispensable thing that happens to us in the power of God. Number two, that a change is produced so great as to make it a proper for us to say that He is a new man. That happened to you? He's a new man. Or my mother's saying, Boy, he really, really got saved. He has a new view of life. He has new motives. He has new principles. He has new objects and plans for his life. He seeks new purpose. He lives for new ends. If a drunkard before reform, there's no impropriety in saying that he's a new man. Well, a drunkard is, quit drinking. If a man is lasciviousness becomes pure, there's no propriety in saying that he is not the same man that he was before. Such expressions are common in all languages, and they are as proper as they are common. There is such a change as to make language proper, as so the conversion of the sinner, there is a change so deep, so clear, so entire, so abiding, that it is proper to say, here is a new creation of God, a work of divine power. Now that's the kind of salvation I want. Hey man, that's the kind of salvation I want. I want the change in me. I don't want to keep going down and just turning over a new leaf. I just don't want to constantly be in heaven revival, you might say. I want the work of divine power in my life. Folks, listen to me. Some of you are not getting it. Some of you think, well, that's okay for the preacher. That's okay for Rick. It's okay for James. And okay for some of the deacons in our church. But that just doesn't happen to happen. And you got a problem. Because you'll never live the Christian life without the divine power upon your life. That's why Jesus Christ said, hey, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, and I in you, he said, you'll produce great fruit. But if there's no divine power, there's no, you might say, something wrong. My suggestion is you take care of that as soon as you can. Amen. As decided and as glorious as when God created all things out of nothing, there is no other moral change that takes place on earth so deep, so radical, so thorough as the change at conversion. That's Bible. I'm just not saying this stuff. This is what I found from the Word of God. There's a change, and I worry about people that are no change. They just go day by day just through the same old, same old, same old stuff. Either you are on idle, or just your pilot's lit, or you've never been saved before in your life. But if you go to 1 John, you can find out how you know you're saved. When you do things wrong, are you convicted about that? Oh, I shouldn't have never done that. Well, that's not good. Has there been a time in your life that you came to God and said, God, I'm... So I hear people say, well, Pastor, I don't think I used the right words. If you're a drowning man, and search and rescue comes up to you and says, and you scream out that, hey, I'm drowning, or hey, rescue me, or help, or does it make any difference that they'll save you? Yes or no? Do you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross? Do you believe he rose on the third day? Do you realize you're a sinner? And you need a Savior? You're saved. But I didn't use the right... Well, I wasn't in the right place. Well, I was thinking about something else. Hey, if you're thinking about something else, it's probably Satan trying to get you off track of what God is trying to tell you. Hey, you need to get a hold of this stuff. This is powerful stuff. I shouldn't even call it stuff. This is powerful doctrine and teaching the Word of God. This is what God said. We're humans. We're mortals. He is immortal. He is the Almighty God. And what he says reigns true, and it's called truth, and truth will set you free. This change comes from the mighty power of God. Scripture says, old things are passed away. The old views in regard to the Messiah and regard to man in general, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, but Paul also gives this a general form of expression and says that old things in general have passed away, referring to everything. It was true of all who are converted that old things have passed away and may include these things. Number one, this change in regard to the Jews. Their former prejudice against Christianity. Was there any prejudice against Christianity? The Jews? Look at old Paul, what he did. Paul said, hey, I'll tell you what, there's a difference. When a man gets saved, they throw out their old prejudices. The former prejudice against Christianity, their natural pride, the spirit of seducing others, their attachment to their rites and ceremonies, their dependence on them for salvation. It all passed away. And by the way, if you read the scriptures, you know Paul and Peter had a little talking. You know, Paul had a great talking. And he said, hey, I withstood him to the face. Because Peter said, I'm not going to eat with you guys. I'm going to eat with the Jews. And Paul said, wait a minute. There's a change. When you get saved, all your prejudices are gone. They now renounce their dependence upon these things and rely on the merits of the Savior and embrace all brethren who are in the family of Christ. There was a change. Old things have passed away. The Jewish people's hearts changed when they got saved. Secondly, in regard to the Gentiles. Gentiles were attached to their idols and they were and their love of sin and degradation and their dependence on their own works has passed away, and they had renounced all these things, and they had come to mingle their hopes with those of the converted Jews and with all who were the friends of the Redeemer. There was a change. And then in number three, in regards to all, it is also true that the old things passed away. The former prejudice, opinion, habits, attachments passed away. Their supreme love of self passed away. Their love of sin passed away. Their love of the world passed away. Their supreme attachment to their earthly friends rather than God passed away. Their love of sin, their sensuality, their pride, their vanity, their levity, their ambition passed away. There is a deep and radical change on all these subjects, a change which commenced at their new birth, which is carried on by progressive sanctification and which consummated at the death in heaven. The Bible said we are converted. Literally, it means we are continuing to be converted. If you're the same guy you were last week, there's something wrong with you in your spiritual Christian life. You should be constantly being converted. I enjoy a couple of these, I forget what they call it. These guys, they take these old beat-up cars and they go find them and they redo them. And what they're doing, they're converting them. They had an old Ford coupe, good night, they only had the frame and something else. Man, they were the most beautiful, and they cut those windows down. Man, it was cool, man. I'll tell you what, I like got all that burned rubber of that thing, amen. Big old 400 and some big block engine on it. That guy got out and just smoked them. I know that didn't turn you guys on, but sorry. It's feel the G's, man. But anyway. It's converted. I'd rather ride in the new Ford than the old Ford, amen. Or the new Chevy or the new Dodge or whatever you want. Lexus, Ferrari, hey, you know, that. But we as Christians, we are constantly being converted to be better. We should not be sliding down. We should not be degressing. It concerns me when people at one time were reading their Bible and one time were having their time with the Lord. Now they have no time for God or the Bible. That's regressing. That's not being converted. That's rusting out. And if you don't apply yourself to this Christian life, I'm telling you, you're just going to dry old and soggy. You're going to rest. You're going to be mean. You're going to be cantankerous because you know what it is. But you're not there anymore, and so therefore you want to make sure you can take down as many people as you can to make you feel good so you don't feel sorry that other people are passing you in their conversion. If I can just get my husband to back off a little bit on this, how our girls are dressing, and if I can just get my husband, because it really makes me uncomfortable because he talks about that. That is bad. That's a flag going up, red flag going up. Hey. My husband, he wants me to do this and wants me to go to a ladies' meeting, wants me to go soul winning, wants me to work in a bus. But now, you know what? I got enough stuff to do right now. Look out. When a man gets saved, or a girl gets saved, or a child gets saved, there is a difference. God's Word says it. You cannot look at it any other way. You can close your mind to it, and you can walk out of here tonight and even not ever come back again. I ain't going to think about that junk. That preacher, he's crazy. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And yes, I am. I'm crazy. I'm crazy about this Bible. The understanding is concentrated, this new object, that the body is employed in new service. The heart forms new attachments. Nothing can be more striking distinctive of the facts in conversion than this. Nothing more entirely accounts in accord with the feeling of a newborn soul. All is new. There are new views of God, new views of Jesus Christ, new views of this world and of the world to come, new views of truth, new views of duty. Everything seems in a new aspect with new feelings. What is it? It's converted. You're saved. You're no longer the old person you used to be. Nothing is more common in young converts than such feeling as nothing is more common than they say, There's something new happening in my life. Well, I like to be around Christians like that. I like to be around young converts. Man, preacher, look at what I found in the Bible. Look at this. Hey, preacher, have you ever read these scriptures? I've never read those scriptures like you've read those scriptures. I promise you that, because your character and all the things that make you a person who you are. You take on something. When I read Psalm 23, I'll guarantee you practically nobody in this church reads Psalm 23 like this old boy reads Psalm 23. Because I was a shepherd boy. And I knew our sheep. And when I read the Lord is my shepherd, I understand up in this little cabeza, this la cabeza of mine, this brain, this head of mine, when I read that, I think of my dad, who was so careful of those sheep and how he took so good care of those animals. How he'd get up early in the morning and go to bed late at night and during the night go out and check, make sure that when their lambing was going on, make sure he didn't lose one of them. Not because it was a financial thing. It's because he literally loved his animals. Well, that passed on to me. So when I say the Lord, when I read the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I think of my dad. I think of those sheep didn't have a want. They didn't need to jump out the fence to go some other place. They had everything they needed. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep don't lie down in green pastures unless they're full. He leadeth me by the still waters. Sheep don't like water. We have brought our sheep back to the farm, and all of a sudden, there's a row of them. I mean, there's a couple hundred sheep and maybe 400 lambs with them, and they're all, we're going down the road, and all of a sudden, there's just one row of them that goes, jump, 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 and you go like, what in the world is that? You get up there and here's a little puddle of water like that. They hate water. So when I read this, it's different than a CU. He restoreth my soul. I've seen where the dogs came in and literally killed 47 one night. And the sheep were, many of them were, their hocks were bitten by those dogs and bleeding. And I remember my dad, I was scared to death. I was home alone. I was home alone, and my uncle called and said, hey, the dogs are in the sheep. And I went up there with the old pickup and a 30-30 Winchester 94 with me. And if you ever grew up on a ranch or a farm, you know that all flashlights do not work. All flashlights do not work. Bulb burn out or the no batteries. Back in those days. Now I carry gobs of bulbs, gobs of batteries with me. But my dad came home that day. Early in the morning, we went up there about 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and the sheep were just all over the place. And my dad called out, and I don't know where he ever got it, because and those sheep just had come a-flying. I never seen anything like it. And they're blatting and bleating and blah, 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 blah. Just drive you crazy. They come in and they get to my dad, and guess what they do? He starts talking to them. He said, it's okay. It's all right. I'll take care of you. And don't cheat. Just... You know what my dad did? He restored their soul. So when I read this Word of God, I read it personally. Every time I read about David, I'm David. Except the Bathsheba. Every time I read the Bible about Paul and Peter and all the rest of the... Man, I'm them. When I'm reading it, it's me. How many do that? Yeah. So when someone calls up and says, preacher, look what I found in the Word of God. I didn't get it the way he got it. You understand? This is our Bible. This is our love letter to us. The Bible seems to be a new book. And though they may have often read it before, yet there's a beauty about it. And there are never things you never saw. But the other day I found something. I was reading something and all said, stand by. And I say it a lot of times when people call me and I'm doing that, hey, can you stand by a second? Stand by. And I'm working on it, sir. I don't know if I'll ever get it done. There's somebody stands in the Bible, it's the most incredible thing. Stand by, stand in, stand still. Stand it up, amen. The whole face of nature changes. And it seems to be new world, new hills, new vales, new springs, new streams, new sun, new stars, new groves of trees and forests. They seem to be all new because when you get saved, you have become a new creature. You have new eyes now. It's the most incredible thing to get saved. A new happiness spreads over all of us, and they now see them all to be the work of God, not some amoeba or some monkey. His glory is spread all over them. And as that song goes, my Father made them all. The heavens and the earth are filled with new wonders, and all things seem now to speak forth the praise of God. Even the very countenance of friends seem to be new. there are new feelings towards all men. There are new kinds of love and kindred and mercy and even a love before unfelt for enemies and new love for mankind. Old-fashioned, old things are passed away, old affections and passions and notions, and he hath the same soul, but he has a new quality, a new appreciation for understanding, new inclination in his will and affection, new thoughts, new counsel, new design. I encourage you, Christians, that you would find this today. And you can't find it by keeping going the way you're going. If you've had a new birth, if you're a new creation of Jesus Christ, old things should be passed away. If they're not, you need to deal with them. And God said, I give you divine power to do that. I'm just not leaving you alone. Hey, then go Blake out there and go, all right, Blake, clean the garage. He'd be more dirtier than Big Pen on the comics. And we get nothing done. In fact, he'd probably tear more stuff up than he did. Yep. That's the way many times we are. We don't understand the divine power and the grace and the mercy that God gives us. And he says, hey, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He said, I want to braid you. I won't get after you. Ask of God. Well, the other day something was going on. I said, dear God, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know which way to go. I just need your help. Lord God, you promised me not to braid me. Now, Lord, help me in this. And wouldn't you know, guess what happened? Somehow, this old farm boy figured it out. You say, you're tooting your horn? Oh, I'm tooting God's horn. I'm telling you what. I'm blowing a whistle for him, brother. I'm telling you what. It is God who lives within us. And every one of you who are sitting, listening to my voice tonight, you have the same power as this old preacher does. You have the same power as great old preachers like Dale Moody and Billy Sunday and Jack Hiles and great men of God who stood the test and preached the Word of God. Hey, you want to have some fun? Read Charles Spurgeon and his life. Find a book about him. See what he did. He died at 50. Terrible health. Had a lot of bad things going on. His wife had a child and all of it made her bedridden for the rest of her life. He had to have people come in and take care of her and on and on and on. And I'm going to say, man, I got her pretty good. So we are new creatures. So can a man change? Can a man change? Can a man change? Yeah, he can change. A million times, yes. Do we trust these men? No. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately. Who can know it? We're all morally sick. Who knows our heart? Angels can't. Satan can't. Only the spirit of man can know the things of a man within him. Through the natural man does not know the plague of his heart. The Pharisees, the perfectionists did not know. They didn't know how to handle themselves. God only knows it fully. Look at the conversion of these sinners. Look at the transformation of these characters. Peter, the profound fisherman. But he was profane. He became a man whose very shadow healed the sick. The Bible said he walked by and their shadow. His shadow fell on a sick person and that person, woohoo, I'm healed. But he's the guy that cursed and swore and denied Jesus Christ. Yes? He's the guy that heard the rooster crow. The restless, demonic. Bible said they tied him and chained him and he pulled it off and he ran around naked in the graveyard. But when he became saved, he was what they called the quiet disciple. When they came back, he was sitting clothed at the feet of Jesus Christ. Can it happen? Can we change? John, he's a vindictive Jew. He became the apostle of love. The woman of Samaria, of unsavory reputation, married a bunch of times and lived with another man, became the evangel of truth in her town, and many, because of her testimony, were saved. Can it happen? Yes, it can happen. Saul, the bloodthirsty persecutor, became Paul, the tender-hearted brother. The cold-hearted Philippian jailer became a sympathetic friend. This is what people see, and this is what people accept. When people see that, it triggers their thoughts in their mind that this person has become a Christian because we have seen others so dramatically change in front of us. It has to be real. It could not be an act because they keep serving God. Is there a chance for change? On this holy book, there is. Every one of us, I don't care who you are, from the little girl that sits up in front seat to the oldest people sitting in the back, we can change. The problem is, it's up to us. We choose to change. I choose to get up 10 minutes early. I choose to get up an hour early. I choose, after all the kids are bed, I choose to just stay a few moments in the Word of God. I choose, as a very, very busy teenager, that you have a million things going on in your life. Yes, you do. From ball games to pep rallies to studies. I see the end of the semester is the 30th. To the college student that doesn't even know what the end is up, there can be a change. Here it is. I've studied it for 2 weeks, and I found the answer. You know what the answer is? It's me. If I want it, what did Dale Moody said? Is yet to see what a man could do who is fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. It is yet to see a man. And he said, I will be that man. I'm not asking you to do something that cannot be done, because God said it can be done. God says in the Word of God, this is what can happen. But the problem is, most of us are unwilling to trust God to change us. Because pretty much, we kind of like the way we're living right now. I have a hard enough time taking care of my own family. I don't need any more junk on my plate. I don't need any more things going on in my life. Let me can I pull over and park just a minute and tell you something? Your life becomes a lot easier when you're on the same team with Jesus Christ. If you're trying to play mammon, man, and Christ, there's always conflicts. Always conflicts. You're conflicting. Well, if I don't show up for that at school, what will the kids think of me? That's a good question. What would they think of you? What if you show up to something that you shouldn't be going to, and you know deep down inside your heart the Holy Spirit is condemning you and creating in you an uneasiness, and you know you should not do that, what should you do? Well, let me tell you something. That's your choice. You're going to do it whether you like it or not. I remember growing up. I remember the things I used to go. I know the place I used to be. I know the things were damning to me. But I was afraid what people might say because I was a BMOC, big man on campus. I was a football player. Everybody knows Shear. But literally, they did not know me. They didn't know that I had a godly mama and godly daddy that prayed for me. They didn't know that I never missed a church service. They didn't know that. Did I have the power of the Holy Spirit upon my life? Absolutely. I had just as much power in my life as D.L. Moody and Jack Hiles and all the rest of them. But I was unwilling to tap into that power, that energy. You ever have a cell phone that's just about ready to go dead? Man, you go in there and you punch every button there is to kill off everything except maybe for the phone. To save the power. That's what I was like. I was the biggest hypocrite you ever met in your life. And I wonder how many people, my buddies that went to Vietnam never came back. I wonder if they burned it. Hell, and someday they're going to put their finger in heavens when they're standing before the great white throne judgment and point their finger at me and say, "Sure, you never one time told me about this." I live with that all the time. And so do some of you other rascals. You know what I'm talking about. So, you have been, as Ezra said, you have been warned, you have been taught, you have been shown. Now, what are you going to do about it? It's your choice. Of course it's going to be a choice. We can't nursemaid you. We can't grab you around and tase you every time you do something wrong. We can't have a chain around your neck and jerk you and get you back into line. Some of us parents like to do that. You know why parents want to do that? Because they don't want you to go through what they went through. And have the memories that are back there that wish that we did not have to have those things. This brain is an incredible thing, but it's a pretty raunchy thing, too, because you don't forget things. I was in the IGA grocery store the other day, and all of a sudden some music played, and all of a sudden I remember where I was at, who I was with, and what I was doing. How many has that ever happened to you? I'm going like, I am 68 years old. Are you kidding me? That is so far in history that, I mean, that was even before 8-tracks. You say, what's that? Forget it. I don't have time. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord God, to be the person that would trigger the thoughts and minds of people so that when they see us and see such a dramatic change in our lives, that they'd say, I want that. That's what I want. God, please, I beg you tonight, you'd speak to our hearts. Heads bowed, eyes closed, you're here tonight, and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I have no marks of the Holy Spirit working in my heart and my life there. I don't see nothing going on like that. Or maybe you're here tonight and say, you know, preacher, I have quenched the Spirit of God. I have quenched the power of God in my life so bad that it doesn't even bother me to curse. Doesn't even bother me to listen to smutty stuff. Doesn't even bother me to look at certain things. Doesn't even bother me how I treat my wife or treat my husband. Doesn't even bother me how I treat my children or how I treat my mom and dad. It doesn't really make any difference how I treat people. Because I've seared it so much. I've looked it in the face so many times, it don't bother me a bit. I'm like the doctor that works in the ER that people are brought in, gunshot wounds, and people are beaten up, and people are in car accidents, and their limbs are tore off. It doesn't bother me anymore because you know what? It's just my job. You know, that's a lot of what Christians are. Get that way. Would to God you'd say tonight, by God's help and God's mercy and grace, I'm going to trust Him to live better and more through the power of God. You cannot do it by yourself. There is no way, shape, form that you can. I challenge you tonight as your pastor. I challenge you to call upon God and ask the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and your life, that when things come to you, you make the right choice and you have the power to make the right choice. God didn't tell you to live godly in an ungodly world unless He gives you the power to do it. That's unkind. He would never do that. Father, bless this time, God. You know the hearts and lives. Help us, Lord, tonight to quit wearying You. Help us keep serving You in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. Going to ask everyone to stand. You're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're on the way to heaven. But you'd like to know that tonight, we'd be more than happy to help you. Just come on right now. Pianist playing. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. There are just some things that just going against some things. You are what you are. You are who you are. You make the choice. You can have the greatest pastor in the world. You can have the greatest evangelist come. You can have the greatest missionaries come. You can have the best Sunday school teachers. You can have the best church that God ever allowed on this earth. But it takes you, your choice. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm headed. This is what I'm going to trust God in. Your choice. Have you ever noticed God will never push you, shove you, grab you? He says, hey, when you're thirsty, come and drink. When you're hungry, come on, I'll feed you. That's what He says. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. We thank You for the opportunities that we have to serve You. Lord, it's an incredible thing how that You have given us the opportunity. But it's up to us. Salvation is a gift. It's not forced. It's a gift. Lord, now bless our hearts, Lord, tonight. Help us to walk close to You. Thank You, Lord, for the food we're about to eat. Lord, help us to concentrate on this Word of God, that we would live more like You and closer to You. And all God's people said, do this best.